Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Matthew Spencer, and I'd like to thank you for listening into our weekly message at Christ Church International. We are a gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus, souls from every nation, one at a time. We love Jesus, we love the Bible, and we love people. Since 1981, we have been sharing the good news of Jesus, and now we're thrilled to be at our new location in downtown Longmont, Colorado, at 527 Main Street. Our key verse for this year is 1 Chronicles 11:9. David's stride became longer, his embrace larger, yes, God of the angel armies was with him. Also, the Lord prophetically spoke to us the first Sunday of the year, saying, "Listen to me, yield to me, take my hand and walk with me, and 2016 will be the year of greater achievements." And now, here is today's message.
Let me just say a couple other things before I actually open the Word of God to you today. As we were worshiping and Matthew was encouraging you to get out here and dance, and Dwayne encouraged you further to do something, there is an act that's required in our worship. You know, worship is not just, you can't just say, I'm gonna think a praise. No, a praise is something that comes out of your mouth. Right. Something that issues forth from you. And what happens is, guys, let me just kind of say it this way. If the scripture says, and you read the scripture and says, "I will lift up holy hands and bless his name," if you see that, but you're afraid to raise your hands, what that tells me is you're bound in an area that God wants you to be free in. To raise your hands, what's that got to do with everything? Well, let me tell you something. If you won't raise your hands when he tells you to, when you're walking down the street and he says something to you, you probably won't obey him. Whoa. See, it's just like with giving. God wants you to give, not because he needs your money, because he's trying to get a blessing into your life. And all of the world operates on seed time and harvest. What you sow is what you get back. God's trying to get a blessing into your life. You're just shutting yourself off. If you won't raise your hands, you're just shutting yourself off. If you won't, I was thinking as they were saying all these things, I thought back to when my eldest son went to the Marines, and we got a video, and actually it was done at the same time he was there, called "The Making of a Marine Corps Officer." So it's about an hour DVD. If anybody wants to watch it, it's amazing. But what they do to those young guys, or if you go to boot camp, just for the infantry, the enlisted Marines, what those drill sergeants do is they take these guys who didn't know they could do what they do and make them do far beyond what they thought they could do.
That's
right. See, that's what it's about. And so when we say come up here and praise the Lord and dance and respond somehow, it's like a drill sergeant trying to get you to go beyond what you think you can do, because God is waiting there with a miracle for your life. When your pastor says you need to forgive, if you won't forgive, what's happening is you're restricted. But you know something, the power of God is in your life, so you can forgive. But it's your choice. You know, when a young man gets drafted, there's no quitting. He's drafted. A young man in the Marine Corps going through officer candidate school can say, "I quit," anytime. I don't have any quitters here. I don't have quitters here. I said I don't have quitters here. I don't have quitters here. I don't have quitters. You're not quitters. If you see who Jesus really is, you won't quit. I tell you, you know why people quit? They quit because they don't see what he did. That's why they quit coming to church. They don't have a vision in their hearts. That's why they quit on families and quit here and quit there. It's because, guys, come on. Now, we're not quitters. It's just some. I'm not a quitter. Now, oh my. Glory to God. I'd also like to invite those of you who would like to, on Monday mornings and Wednesday mornings, come and meet with me to just wait on the Lord here at 7 o'clock in the mornings, Monday and Wednesdays, just waiting on the Lord and just praying and spending time. Monday mornings, David's been coming and Sarah's been coming. And, you know, we walk and we pray and just seek the Lord together. And I invite you to do that. You know, we need to seek the Lord. And as the days grow dark, we need to seek the Lord. And I'm going to share some stuff today that I think is going to challenge you. It's going to help you. If you'll turn to Genesis with me, please. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that the word would begin to rise up within us. Father, give us ears to hear what you're saying. Give us hearts, Lord, ready to receive what you're saying. And Father, I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Guys, this word will change you. This word, if you'll allow it to get down inside of you, it'll make you a champion. It'll make you a victor. It'll cause you to rise up. Your faith will rise, and you'll begin to accomplish things you didn't think you could accomplish. And so now this is a prophetic word. I'd like to read from Genesis chapter 27. I'm going to read from verse 40. This is a prophetic word over Esau. Now, the scripture says concerning Jacob and Esau that God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. And that's kind of a complicated theological statement. But what we understand from it really is this, is God knew that Esau didn't care about spiritual things. Esau had no desire for spiritual things. Matter of fact, he gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup. And he didn't love spiritual things. And so, but here's a prophetic word that was spoken over him. It's in verse 40. I'm just going to read that part. It says, by thy sword shall you live, and you shall serve your brother, Jacob. And it shall come to pass that when you shall have the dominion, then you shall break his yoke from off your neck. Now, I'd like to read that in a couple different translations. One translation, the New King James, says, when you become restless. The Amplified says, restive. And I didn't know what the word restive meant, so I looked it up. The word restive has two different definitions, one speaking of a person and the other one speaking of a horse. Okay? So speaking of a person, it means unable to keep still or silent and becoming increasingly difficult to control, especially because of impatience, dissatisfaction, or boredom. Like, I've had enough of this! Of a horse, it means refusing to advance, stubborn, standing still or moving backwards or sideways. Kind of like a mule. Now, what's that got to do with anything? The New Living Translation says this, but when you decide to break free, you shall shake his yoke from off your neck. What I see in life, what I see in Christians' lives is this. You're not tired of sin. You're not tired of unforgiveness yet. You're not tired of poverty yet. And so therefore you stay bound to this yoke. At some point you got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to say, I've had it with this stuff in my life. I'm finished with it. It's over in my life. But when you decide to break free, you'll shake the yoke from your neck. What yoke is on your neck today? Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? Is it poverty? Is it sickness? Is it a disease? Is it some kind of family conflict that you always find yourself in the middle of? At what point will you say, I'm tired of this, and I'm going to shake it off, I'm going to break free of it? Could be fear. You know, I think one of the greatest counsels for people who are dominated with fear is this. You need to, now please, we're going to use wisdom. I get tired when I have to always explain myself. But I think someone, so please use moderation here. But I think people who are bound by fear, you ought to say yes to every new experience that comes to you. Now we're talking godly. I mean, some people, Pastor said I could do it. No, I didn't. No, not that. But I'm talking about new experiences. New restaurant. Don't go to the old restaurant, go to a new one. Don't go to a hamburger joint, go to a Nepali restaurant. Okay, don't go to a Nepali Indian restaurant. Go to a, well, you probably would eat anything like, you just love it all, don't you? Okay, so I mean, you know. It turned her hair red. It's all that henna, no. Just say yes. Say yes to coming to church. Say yes to a prayer meeting. Say yes to coming on a Wednesday and just hanging out with a purpose. Well, what if no kids come? Well, you're going to show up next week. Well, what if no kids come? You're going to show up the week after that? Well, all my desserts, nobody will eat them. Well, just pass them out. Take them somewhere else. Go freeze them. Bring them here on Sunday morning. This is the year, prophetically, we've heard. I'll read it to you. Brother Jerry Savelle, this is a prophetic word. Extraordinary things are taking place in the heavenlies. Guys, you need to understand something. God works in the heavenlies. He works in the spiritual realm before it often manifests here. You just need to get that. Patty always likes to say, "Well, I'm going." She says, "Mark, God's working behind the scenes." Yeah, I know, but I'm ready for the curtain to open. Yeah. You know, I'm ready for the curtain to open. But the word of the Lord today was, "It's imminent."
That's right.
You know, Duane came up last night and said, "I got this word about breakthrough. It's imminent." And I kept thinking, he doesn't know I'm preaching on breakthrough in the morning. I love it when the Lord does that. So here's this word. Extraordinary things are taking place in the heavenlies, and 2016 will become known as the year of the great breaking loose. Whatever it is you're bound by, this year you can step free.
Amen.
Remember, and I've talked to you about this and taught you this. Jesus is our Jubilee, and you don't have to have a year of Jubilee for Jesus to be your Jubilee. If you've received Christ, you can have your Jubilee right now. You can be free right now. You don't have to wait for some kind of year. You don't need for a year of breaking loose. If you'll step in and walk with Christ, you can walk free now. You don't need to wait till the end of this year and hoping and praying and wishing that something would happen. You can begin to walk in that liberty now. Okay, so he goes on and says, more and more notable miracles will break loose in the earth. More and more signs and wonders. More and more angelic visitations. More and more instant healings. More and more deliverances from demonic activities. And more finances will break loose so my people can do more for the kingdom, says the Lord. I heard one thank you, Jesus, on that. I won't ask how many of you bought a lottery ticket last week. I'm going to ask Jeanette, our accountant, what kind of offering we got today. If I hear her shouting, I will know. You know, God has a way to get you provision. And during this time of the great breaking loose, the enemy will no longer be able to hold back that which my faithful ones have stood in faith for. Not even the things that looked as though they would never come to pass. What is your hardest issue right now? Is it your health? Is it your family? Is it circumstances somehow? What is beating you up? What is telling you that you'll not change, it'll not change, it can't change? You're going to have to wait to heaven until you see it. You've been standing. You've been faithful. You've been believing. Scripture says the faithful abound with blessing. For I will cause them to break loose and to suddenly manifest and do so in such a way that no one will be able to deny the greatness of your God. See, this, guys, is why we're praying for the season of Aaron's rod. When this happens, the whole world will see that Israel belongs to God.
That's right.
That's another whole teaching on the season of Aaron's rod, but it's getting ready to happen. And God's going to show the nations that Israel belongs to Him. I believe He's going to show the nations that the church belongs to Him as well. Yes, 2016 will be a year in which the faithful shall be rewarded beyond their highest expectations, and they shall abound in my blessings as never before. I simply want to say, bring it on, Lord. I know personally in my life, I'm just trying to get out all the stuff, all the barriers, all the things that are keeping me back. And let me just tell you guys something right now. This isn't in my message today, but you need to be ready for it. You need to be ready for it, because if you're not, you're going to miss something. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, is talking about the end times, and one of the greatest stumbling blocks in the end times is this, is many will have a spirit of offense. It is a sign of the end times, people being offended. They get offended at anything and everything. And you know, I know some people, they just carry a spirit of offense around for whatever reason. They've literally, it's like a demon chases them, and they get offended at everything. And then all these little things happen. I remember years ago, there was a family in our church that had a spirit of offense on their family. We loved them. Oh my, we love them. Still love them. And that spirit of offense was on their lives, and they gave us a check for Christmas. $200. We never saw it. Maybe they gave us cash. I don't know. We never saw it. Well, they were offended over that. Didn't you get our gift? No, we didn't get it. They got offended at that. Well, guys, the devil will trip you up and be the dumbest thing. Husbands and wives, watch out. Kids, watch out. Brothers, sisters, watch out. You see, Psalm 133 talks about the unity of the brethren. Where there's unity, there's a commanded blessing. You want blessing in your house? Just walk in unity. You want a curse in your life? Just get into division. James chapter 3. The wisdom that's from above is peaceable, gentle. The wisdom that's from below, it's sensual. There's strife. There's division with it. So you got strife and division in your life? It's devilish. Get it out. Kick the devil out. Put a smile on your face. All right, so let's go back to this restive thing. We got to get so tired of the thing that we're bound in that we just say, I'm finished with this thing. Now, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says this. I love it. You know it probably by heart. And it shall come to pass in that day when his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because, come on, of the anointing. Because of the anointing. Now, the anointing, what is the anointing? The anointing is the presence of the Spirit. Jesus, it's not his middle name. Christ is not Jesus' middle name. He is the anointed one. That's what it means. Christ means the anointed one. So, and what's the scripture say? Christ in us, what? The hope of glory. The anointing in us is the hope of our glory. Jesus said, or Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4. He said, I can do all things through Christ. Through what? I can do all things through the anointing. I can forgive because the anointing lives in me. I have the courage to face tomorrow because the anointing lives in me. And by the way, he is the high priest of good things to come. I can face tomorrow because he's the high priest of good things to come. And Christ, the anointed one, I can do all things through him. And that anointing will break off. I remember what Mr. Maton said to me at the Bible College of Wales. So powerful. Those words have stayed with me. He said this, you get into that place of abiding in Christ, and the Christ himself will arise up within you and throw off the sickness. See, he is a living person, and if he's living inside of you and you come to that place of abiding in him, ask what you will and he'll do it for you, he said. He'll throw off that fear. He'll throw off that poverty spirit. He'll throw off that spirit of division in your home. He'll throw off that spirit of fear that keeps you from possessing all that God has for you to possess. He'll throw it off. But what's happening is so many times we're expecting God to do something out here. Come down and change and make our life good. What he's going to do, guys, he's going to start in here. It changes in here first. And that revelation rises up in you. And you become like the Old Testament king Saul. When the Spirit of God came on him, he became a new man. And prophesied with everyone else, all the prophets. So it happens when the anointing comes on you. That's why in church you start seeing possibilities. That's why when we get into worship, you start thinking possibilities. You start thinking, whoa, man, God does forgive me. Whoa, God does, because he's present here with us as a group. And then you go outside and the world goes, you walk out the door and the world smacks you and you go, oh yeah, I forgot who I am. I'm just a worm. No, remember the things this Lord was speaking to you this morning. That's why we come to church, is to get encouraged, to get stirred up, to go back out there and win out there.
That's right.
Well, Isaiah 52:2 says this. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. You know, guys, I have to do things like this. Maybe you don't have to. He says, shake yourself. Shake off the dust. It'd be good for some of you to go. Fear, go. Sickness, go. In the name of Jesus. Well, Pastor Mark, I don't want anybody to look at me. While I'm doing that, no one's looking at you. Go! I shake myself in Jesus' name. I'm just trying to. I know it's theatrical, but guys, I got this. Sometimes you just gotta go, boom, yeah. Just gotta do that. Yeah, it's prophetic. It's kind of a prophetic action. Just I gotta get free. All right. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Glory to God. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Oh man, my time is racing. All right, 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and timbers of cedar with masons and carpenters to build up a house. David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. Let me just say to you quickly, David had been king for 7 years, and it took him that long to perceive that he was king. My question to you is today, if you're a Christian, how long is it going to take for you to perceive that you're a son of God? How long is it going to take for you to perceive that you're a prince or a princess? How long is it going to take for you to go, you know what, I don't have to be under the bondage of unforgiveness and bitterness. I don't have to put up with this anymore. My Father's made a provision for me. I don't have to live like this anymore. When is that going to dawn in your heart? When is that going to break free in your life? It took David 7 years. I know people that's taken all their lives and they still don't get it. Well, and David took more wives, and it goes on. He had a lot of wives. He had a lot of kids. And, You know, and then it says in verse 8, and then the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel. All the Philistines went up to seek David, and David heard of it, and he went out against them. Let me just tell you something, guys. When the presence of God begins to manifest, when the power of God begins to manifest, when the anointing of the things of the Spirit begin to break loose in our services, and they will again, we've seen it in the past, they will again, we'll have that, those manifestations of the things of God as His power, as people begin to get healed, they come into service worshiping God. The power of God will begin to heal people, sets people free. As that begins to happen, expect the devil to do some things as well. Devil's trying to do something right now to the church. No weapon formed against us will prosper.
That's right.
It happened on a night of praise. I got word of it on another night of praise. The devil loves to be around the anointing. Matter of fact, the anointing, that oil, that it draws flies. I tell you what, that's, remember what the scripture said about the devil before he fell? He said he was the anointed cherub. He misses that, but of course anything he ever touches turns bad. You understand that, but he misses that. But you'll never have it again. It's our place now. It's our place, not to cover the throne of God, but to sit with our Master in heavenly places with Him. That was the devil's job. He wasn't the devil. That was Lucifer's job, is to cover the throne of God. We sit on it with our Father. What are we? It hath not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know when we see Him, we'll be like Him. I don't know what we are, guys. But we're far more than we think we are. So let's just go on here. And so the Philistines came up against and they spread themselves out in the valley. And you know, guys, this is what the devil does. He's like some of these animals, you know. A grizzly bear, when it's challenged, what does it do? It comes up off its, it comes and stands up like this. You know, that's what a cobra snake does. It comes up and it puts its fan out, its hood out. You know what the devil does to you? He comes with fear and says, tomorrow's going to be really bad. You're going to lose your job and you're never going to have any food and you're never going to even be able to get dental floss because you're going to be so poor. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Three or four of us are honest. That's what the devil does. Your kids will never talk to you again. What's he doing? This is the devil spreading himself out in front of the people of God saying, I'm bigger than you are.
Well, you don't understand, Mr. Devil, or whatever. Mr. Fear, Mr. Whatever, Mr. Poverty, Mr. Sickness. You know, the best thing for you to do, now I'm a little angry, but you got to do this sometimes. Liar! You're a liar! You're a liar! You're a liar! You're a liar! So, well, I wouldn't talk to the devil that way. Well, you need to. In the middle of the night, that thing starts screaming in your ear. Is the time for you to... Now, I don't wake up the house. But, you know, just go get a pillow. Liar! Just stick your head in that thing and just tell him he's a liar. Because he is.
That's right.
I'll walk again. My family will be born again. My prodigals will come home.
You're catching that, aren't you?
They can't help it.
You say, well, now, Pastor, I hate it when people start doing that to me. Thank you, Casey. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I swear, Casey grew 6 inches this week. I didn't see him last week, and man, I thought, whoa, what happened to this kid? Lord, we love you. Guys, don't let the devil pick on you, please. Yeah, but we do all the time. But we do. We need to just get right into that. And we let the devil listen, speak into our ears. He tells us that this. He tells us this about ourselves. He tells us we're not valuable. He tells us we're not useful. He tells us that we're going to fail. He tells us we're going to fall. And guys, at some point, you got to say, blah, 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 no, throw it off. I'm going to believe what my father says about me. I don't understand why he loves me, but I'm going to believe what my father says about me. Now, go on here, and so the Lord, David inquired of God. When the devil comes and he's fighting you, there's something going on in your body physically, something going on in your money, something going on with your kids, something going on with your wife, something going on with your husband. You know what you need to do? You need to stop and you say, I'm going to inquire of God. Lord, the devil's all these lies. At some point, you say, Lord, what's going on? Lord, what's going on? I need an answer. I need an answer why my body's hurting. I need an answer this. I need an answer. Why can't I keep a job? He'll show you if you're honest. And so here it is. So David inquired of the Lord, and he said, well, should I go? What should I do? And the Lord said, go. I'll deliver him into your hand. So they came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. That's old King James. He put it to them. Okay, he put it to him, and then David said, God has broken in upon my enemies by my hand like the breaking forth of waters. Here's this place, and it says, and we better finish reading. And when they had left their gods there, that's the Philistines, David took the commandment, gave a commandment, and they burned them with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves before the valley. And there David inquired again of the Lord. And the Lord said, yep, go. And so God gave him another great victory. And therefore David did as God commanded him. And they smote the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gazer. And the fame of David went out through all the lands. You know, David at this point names this place Baal-perazim. It's a word basically this. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of breakthrough. Guys, Jesus is the Lord of your breakthrough. If you'll inquire of the Lord, he'll begin to speak to you. And I love what it says here, and we're going to quickly go through this very, very quickly. But David said he broke through by my hand. By my hand. By my hand. And guys, let's think about it for a minute. If you've been beaten down by self-criticism, you've been beaten down by you're not confident in yourself. I tell you what, it's hard to say, what do I have in my hand at all that God could use? But here's the thing, David said, by my hand. Let's just do this together kind of as an exercise as a congregation. Moses, God called him, and what did he have in his hand? He had a staff. Okay? Anybody else? In the New Testament or Old Testament? Where God called somebody, and they had something in their hand. Anybody? How about the widow? And she had a couple boys, or a couple kids, and they were obviously something had happened to her husband, and she was in so much debt, they were going to come and take her kids. You know, that's what they did back in the day. Sell your kids as slaves. God. You know, that's what they do in Nepal still. India. Can you imagine a mom and a dad selling their 10-year-old girl for nefarious means and things? Guys, this is what darkness does. This darkness does this kind of thing. Well, they were going to sell these boys. And the prophet came and he said, what's in your hand? What's in your house? What'd she have? She had a little bit of oil, just a little bit of oil. Was in her hand. And he said, okay, send your kids out and get every jar you can get in the neighborhood. We're going to fill that thing up. And she had enough, and it says she lived on it. After she had all that oil, her whole house was full of oil, she sold it all and lived on it, guys. She had a retirement. Yeah, somebody else. What else? Little boy with the fish? How about the disciples with fish in the next chapter? Jesus said, what do you have? And they said, well, we got 7 fishes and a few loaves. And he fed 4,000. And with a little boy, 5,000 was in their hand. What else? Jesus turned water into wine. What was in the house? Pots of water. And we did a study on that. Remember, it was like 900 bottles of wine. 9,900 bottles of wine. No. Wow. Wow. I know we're a Protestant church. There's a joke that says, the Catholics drink on the front porch and the Baptists drink in the back porch. But 900 bottles of wine. That's a lot of wine. I mean, I'm not promoting you all go out and have wine this afternoon with the Bronco game, but Jesus knew how to throw a party. Okay, anything else? Anybody else? A fishing net. It was an empty net, and it was broken. Yeah. And they still filled up a whole ship. Two ships. That's right, thank you. With a broken fishing net, but it was in his hand. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am? Parting the seas? Well, that was with his rod, whang, and then phew. So guys, here's the point. I mean, Moses did all sorts of things with that rod. Wow. How about, we won't go there. That's another, I'll preach over time. And there's a football game coming. You know something, guys? I holler at football games, but I praise the Lord too. Amen. Okay, now, guys. What's in your hand? My question to you is, what is in your hand? Now, see, if you're so beat up and downtrodden and you just don't think any good about yourself, that's why you need to get full of the Word of God, because as you read through the Word of God, you're going to start seeing who you are in Christ. You're going to start seeing that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You're going to start identifying with His resurrection power in you. You're going to start believing that He is the high priest of good things to come, and that God is good and He will only do good. You're going to start seeing that God has a good plan for you, a good plan for your future, and that you can look tomorrow, no matter what's going on, no matter how many times you've been fired, no matter how many times you've struggled and you're struggling today, tomorrow holds a hope of an imminent breakthrough. Because God is taking us out of this realm. Guys, He is getting the church ready for His return. Well, I like what David also said. He said this, God has broken through by my hand like the breaking forth of waters. I love the scripture in Isaiah. It says this, when the enemy comes in. Now, a lot of people say it this way. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against it. I think it can be equally as quoted this way. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against him. For you see, in John chapter 7, Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I love the scene in Narnia. Is it the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe? Remember where the Prince Caspian. It's been Prince Caspian. And I love Prince Caspian, that story. The movie kind of disappointed me, but it's okay. The book, at any rate, the book. But the visual in the movie was so great, as the enemy is running in retreat, and they're crossing the bridge, and that the water god or whatever came up out of the water and just washed them all away. How many remember what I'm talking about? That is such a wonderful scene. And guys, the Lord said, I'll like a flood, I'll wash away the enemy. I'll wash the enemy away. I'll wash him away. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. Guys, I don't know what's coming against you today. I know you're facing things like I'm facing things. We all have challenges in life to face. Physical, financial, we have issues of relationships, and we have issues of our personalities and the stuff that's in our lives, and the things that we need to be healed from. Some of you may have addictions that you're bound by. I tell you, you think, can I ever get free? Well, can I ever find a way? Yes, the God of the breakthrough wants to bring healing into your life. He has an imminent breakthrough waiting for you. What would it be like if your prodigal came home today? What would it be? Is it possible? Yes. Is it possible for a breakthrough financially? Is it possible for a job that meets all of your family's needs? Yes. And God's not limited to any of those things. He can do it all in a moment, if we'll dare believe Him. You see, this is an hour. This is an hour of a breaking loose. This is an hour of the glory of God. This is an hour you can expect healings in your body instantly. This is an hour you can expect angels to defend and protect you. This is the hour. Now, I think of a story in the Old Testament. I think it was Jehoshaphat. And the enemy came, and thousands of them, hundreds of thousands of them. And Jerusalem was under siege. And the king took the letter from the enemy and he kind of put it out before the Lord. He just kind of like this. He came into the temple and he just threw it, you know, put it out before the Lord and said, "Lord, this is what they're saying." And then he said this: "The enemy's coming at us, Lord, but our eyes are on you." Right. Friends, get your eyes off of the fear. Get your eyes off of the lies that you're hearing. Get your eyes fastened and focused on the author and finisher of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not fail you. Men will fail you. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not a perfect man. I've never met a perfect man. But I do know this: Jesus is the perfect man. And He will not leave you. He'll not forsake you. Now, let me just quickly say this. Keep your eye fastened on Christ. Matter of fact, you ought to tell that somebody. Keep your eye fastened on Jesus. Keep your eye fastened on Jesus. Keep your eye. Now, as we race to this, and we're going to take communion over this in just a moment. Ushers, if you get ready to begin to receive communion. Here it is, guys. The Lord gave us His prescription for victory this year. It was a prophetic word. Now, I'm preaching on breakthrough today. The word of the Lord was this: I'm going to give you an imminent breakthrough. I'm expecting breakthroughs today. I'm expecting some of you to call my phone this week and say, "Mark, we've had a breakthrough. We've had a breakthrough with our family. We've had a breakthrough in our finances. I've had a breakthrough in my emotions. I've had a breakthrough." It's imminent, guys. It is imminent, but you've got to take hold of it. Now listen, the word of the Lord came to us this way, and it was not too long ago, and He said this, and this is His prescription for victory this year. Here's the prescription. Listen to me. Yield to me. Take my hand and walk with me, and you'll have a year of greater achievement. So here's the prescription. We need to listen to Him. That means we need to be reading the Bible. That's why we're reading the entire Bible through this year. You're not too late. Jump in. Jump in. Jump in. You can catch up. And if you're a slow reader, just start anyway. Let's just read through the Bible, hunting, expecting the Spirit of God to speak to us today. Lord, I'm listening to you. Then when you come to church, when you hear a prophetic word, you know, we'll judge them. We'll make sure that, you know, that we're hearing accurately the best we can. But I tell you, the Spirit of God, listen to Him speaking to your heart. He'll tell you, go left, go right. He'll tell you what to do. Listen to Him. Go here for an interview. Go there to do this. I remember years ago, my wife, we weren't married yet. The Lord, she came to Longmont, believed she was supposed to be part of the church. I was pastor at the time, and the Lord called her there, and she applied one school. And back in that day, that was crazy. You had to apply in 50, 60 places to get a job. She applied in one place. She said, and she got the job. So, you know, if you just listen to God, He knows where you should go to get your work. He knows how you need to pray for your kid. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He'll give you a key. Yeah, I'll tell that story. Samantha will get to hear this story. Joshua was a little boy, and I don't know what happened. I don't know how it got in. Still don't know how it got in. But he came into a period of time as a little boy, I don't know, 4 years old or something like that, where he just really got depressed. Let me tell you something, 4-year-olds should not be depressed. If you've got a four-year-old and he's depressed, there is something wrong. And Josh, I mean, he just wasn't laughing. Long story short, he was with me in the car. And I could tell you where we were at. We were driving up 9th Avenue up toward the top of the hill on Hoover. And so we were coming up. And we had a breakthrough. He may not even remember it. And I had that moment revelation about my victory for my son having a breakthrough. And I just began to laugh. Power of God came out. I began to laugh. Next thing I knew, he was free. I got my little boy back. What makes me sad is how many parents will never do warfare for their kids, never stand on intercession for their kids, and it's just their personality. And now that devil begins to work inside that personality, and by the time they get to be teenagers, by the time they get to be adults, they've got a warped personality because there's something been working in them because mom and dad didn't intercede and pray through that thing. Pray it through, mom and dad. Pray it through. I don't care if they're adults. I don't care how old they are. You just continue to pray it through. You believe God for that imminent breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God. Glory to God. So God's given us a prescription. Listen to me. Oh, man. Glory to God. Well, I want you to say, I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. Now, I suppose, I just hate this. But if I don't say it, somebody will be mad at me. I understand there's times in your life when things have happened and you've got to take a break or something. I understand that. But we don't quit on the Lord.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? You just don't do it. You don't quit on the Lord. You just keep coming. You just keep coming. You just keep coming.
That's right.
Patty and I took a break. Went to Hawaii. For 3 months. Had a great time. We needed a break. We didn't quit. I found out why we haven't been back to Hawaii in 4 years. It's my wife's fault. It's my wife's fault. Patty. See, when we were there, she took this class with a master ukulele player. I mean, the guy's amazing. He taught Jake. If you know who Jake is. And he said this. He said, I will give you your next lesson when you've mastered this one. Start practicing, please. All right, why don't you stand with me? We're gonna take communion in just a minute. We have time. We still have 10 minutes, 12 minutes. But what I want us to do is I want us to, and I'm not going to ask you to shake and make funny noises. But guys, we need to become restive. We need to say, devil, no more. I'm not taking how you're running over my family. Devil, I'm not taking how you're trying to put sicknesses on my body. I'm not going to take how you're running over my life and telling me and making me so insecure and lying to me that I'm not loved and that nobody cares about me. See, at some point you do have to get restive. At some point you have to say, I'm not putting up with that anymore. Jesus paid a price that I don't no longer have to be bound. I no longer have to be sick. I no longer. At some point, guys, as you throw that off, however you go about doing that, God will begin to, you'll begin to see a breakthrough. You see, he said this, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And guys, the Holy Spirit's now inside. So that flood is going to begin on the inside of you. For those of you who pray in other tongues, that gift, that prayer language of the Spirit, that's part of that flood. That's how you get that flood going. It's just, and if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's a gift for everybody. I think of the 120 on that day of Pentecost. You know who was there? Oh, Mary was there. Mary Magdalene was there. Mary, can you say, now my Catholic brothers, those of you who are Catholic here, please don't be offended with me, but Mary was a tongue speaker. She was speaking in tongues. She was worshiping in tongues on that day at Pentecost. I wouldn't doubt it if she wasn't a holy roller, but I mean, that gal, she wanted everything God had for her. I want everything God has for me. So let's just stir up for just a moment. Let's just stir up that gift within us. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit if you can. If you can't, just say, Lord, I want to be baptized in the Spirit. I want a language of prayer that is a perfect language of prayer. Just begin to stir that up, though, at any rate. And if not, just begin to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to let the devil run over me anymore. I'm restive. I'm tired of this. I'm finished with the devil's work in my life in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to work you up emotionally. I'm trying to cause your faith to rise up so you can tell the devil what he is. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's trying to destroy from your life. No more devil in Jesus' name. I say over this church, no weapon formed against this congregation will stand. Every tongue that comes against us in judgment, I condemn it right now. I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. I say we don't listen to the lies of the devil. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ. We can stand confident. We can stand boldly. We can stand with an assurance that our Father has loved us and paid a great, great price so we can be free, so we can walk in the things of God, so we can walk in this earth as princes and princesses. So Father, we're thankful right now in the name of Jesus for helping us throw these things off so we might have that imminent breakthrough that you've spoken to us about. That this is the year of our breaking loose, and we're breaking loose right now. We're going to be restive. We're going to break off the chains of the devil. We're going to break off the chains of that parent who said things about us years ago that held us bondage for years. We're breaking off those words of a teacher or a pastor or others who've said things over us. Father, we're trusting your word. We're believing your word, and we receive your word about us that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. That, Lord, you're giving us angelic help quickly. That, Father, we're having miracles instantly, miracles, healings in Jesus' name. And, Father, I speak over this congregation, provision in Jesus' name. Provision. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Now, you go ahead and have a seat. And ushers, if you'd begin to pass communion. See, this is a good time for us to just receive communion. Oh, Jesus paid a price for us, didn't he? You say, oh, I'm not worthy to receive anything from him. Well, you know what? I know we're all sinners, but I do know this. I've received what Christ did for me. I'm now the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't understand it. Thank you, Casey. I don't understand it, but Jesus did it for me. I'm thankful for it. He loved me so much that he sent his son to pay a price I could not afford to pay. Lord, forgive us for letting the devil shackle us, hold us down. Forgive us, Lord. Brothers and sisters, communion is open to you if you're a believer. If you've trusted Christ, you've made him the Savior of your life. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible says this as well. There's coming a day of punishment and judgment. The wage of sin is death. But God is so good, isn't he? He says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says that we confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart, God raised Jesus from the dead. If we do that, what happens is that this miracle transpires in our hearts and we become born again. I don't understand that fully. Nicodemus, the great teacher of the law, didn't understand that. He came to Jesus and Jesus said, Nicodemus, don't you understand? You got to be born again. And he said, I don't know how to do that. Oh, I tell you guys, it's by the Spirit of God. By seeing that Jesus died in your place and that he rose again for you. And when you believe that in your heart, confess it with your mouth, the Bible says you'll be born again. So just to be sure, pray this prayer with me. Father in heaven, I've been a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus went to the cross for me. And I believe he died in my place. But I believe he rose again from the dead. Conquered death. Conquered my sin. And now he's conquered my heart. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Make me a new person. I'll serve you and follow you all my life. There's no quit in me now because you didn't quit for me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you've prayed that prayer, maybe for the very first time and believed it in your heart, you got born again. Please come tell me after church. Tell somebody after church. It's important you do that as well. Lord Jesus, today we're grateful that you went to the cross and your body was broken for us. Oh, my Father, we don't understand fully what you did, but that which we do see, we take hold of it right now, and we're thankful. We're grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you, this is the body of Jesus broken for you. As you receive it, receive his health, receive his life, receive his mercy, receive his strength. In Jesus' name, let's receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's weekly message. We declare that the things that God said he would do, now he is doing it. If you are ever in the Longmont area, we would love for you to join us for our Sunday gathering. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the heart of Longmont's Creative District in downtown. The address is 527 Main Street. That's near the intersection of 6th Avenue and Highway 287, which is Main Street in downtown Longmont. Are you on Facebook? Connect with us. Our page is facebook.com/Christ Church International. Our website is www.christchurchinternational.org. Our email is contact@innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.